Welcome to Shasta County Elections. This program is presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and a volunteer for KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. Today we have in the studio a candidate for Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 5, Gary Oxley. Welcome to the program, Gary.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. I love that the candidates are willing to come in and share their perspectives. I also like the public to know, our listeners, that all the candidates are getting all the same questions so that people can understand how they're different.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, and I appreciate getting those in advance. Like I said, I think it's nice because that gives us a chance to thoroughly think about those because time is short.
Yes,
so thank you.
Absolutely. So one of the first things I like to do is for people to kind of get your background. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Sacramento. And then from Sacramento, we gravitated up to Lincoln. And from Lincoln, after that, we went down to the Bay Area. After the Bay Area, went to junior college at Delta College. And then transferred up to Chico State, graduated from Chico State with a BSN in nursing, and moved up here in 95 with my three sons.
Wow.
And so I've been up here for a little bit of time now. So
what drew you to Reading?
That's a long story, but I'm very grateful that I'm here. Yeah. I'm
was it job at, related?
No, it was relationship related.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah,
so,
that's good.
Yeah. And so I came up here and, you know, wonderful woman. Didn't work out, but it is what it is. And I'm very grateful that I came up here. Ironically, my mother lived in Reading and had my first two sisters here in Reading. And I didn't know that until later on.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have roots here all the way back from when my mom was here in the 50s.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was pretty neat.
That's awesome. And you stayed.
I stayed. I love Reading. I love Shasta County. Every time I go down south and coming over that little hill, coming into the factory outlets, it's like, oh, I'm home.
Yeah.
And so I really do love it. We can go to so many different places and see so many different things, but this is home.
Yes.
And I really thoroughly enjoy it.
So. I love the beauty of the North State. We're so blessed to have the lakes and the trees and the mountains and, you know, 3 hours to the coast, three hours to the Sacramento or the Bay Area. I mean, you have lots of options.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I like that we're not city upon city. And I hope in my lifetime that I never see that. So it's just nice. It really is nice.
Yes.
We're fortunate.
Yes. When you moved up to this area, what employment did you have?
When I first came up here, I worked as a legal nurse consultant for a workers' comp company. And then got hired on at Reading Medical Center in 98 in their open heart program.
Wow.
And that's where I met my lovely wife today, Wendy, way back in 98. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So currently, what are you up to besides being a candidate?
Currently, I'm retired. Wendy and I had a business, Rejuvenate Pools and Spas, that we closed in March of 25. Prior to that, I was a registered nurse, worked at Reading Medical Center, Mercy Medical Center, St. Elizabeth, and did a little short time at the Veterans as well. But right now we have a 67-acre ranch that we're developing. We've got four sheep that we're going to breed in August. We've got five goats, 30-some chickens, five dogs. So we're developing a nice little ranch. We want to have cows out there, and so it's a nice place to be. Try to be self-reliant.
Yeah, and being out on the land is really very powerful, and I noticed that you've stayed. You could have retired. Some people retire and they leave, but you retired and stayed. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing.
No, like I said, I love it here. We can go anywhere in the world, and then we get to come back here.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So I also like to ask the candidates, have you served on any commissions, boards, committees?
So the probably the longest standing one that I did was with the California Rifle and Pistol Association. I was one of the founding fathers here for the local chapter here in Shasta County. I started off as a treasurer and then ended up doing two terms as the chair. So I was co-authored the Second Amendment resolution that was passed by the Board of Supervisors in 2023. That was probably the most significant committee that I've been on. I was a track coach for Bishop Quinn High School.
Oh, good.
Back in the day when my sons were there. And so I've always tried to be community minded.
Yeah.
Probably not as much as other people, but those are probably the two significant things that I've done.
And the association and rifle and pistol, what drew you to that? What did you, are you a gun owner and enjoy it?
I am. Yeah. And so I'm a real huge supporter of the Second Amendment. I have a relative, Samuel Burbank, who fought at Bunker Hill. We just have a rich, our heritage can be tied all the way back to Bunker Hill. And so I just have a real strong sense that that Second Amendment is very important to yes. us as a nation. So yes, that's what gravitated me to that organization.
How long did you serve with them?
5 years.
Yeah. That's a lengthy duration.
It was. And we did a lot of good, I think. We supported, we put on a big fundraiser and supported Mark Baird's case, which is a case that allows you to open carry. It's your constitutional right when we live in a community of this size. The California Constitution allows you to be able to open carry. But his, and that was probably not the best synopsis of that case because it was it's very in-depth. But we supported him during that time. And it, he did, the court did side with him after many, many years. And I understand, as far as I understand right now, that's in the appeals process from the state of California.
Oh, is it?
So
okay.
It's not done yet, but I'm just a huge believer from everything that I've read, how important the Second Amendment is. That, and but with on that note, though, it also takes responsible people, too. And so you have a right, but you have to have, be responsible with that right.
And that being responsible makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Absolutely does.
And I think when people are responsible, it has a standard. When we live at that standard, then it builds respect.
Yes, absolutely.
And trust.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm old enough to know that I was born in the 60s, grew up in the 70s when we had our rifles in the back of the trucks. And you went to school with the rifles in the back of the truck
yeah.
with the windows rolled down because it was hot. So there was respect. There was a different era, but there was respect for guns and life, I think. A little bit different today, I think.
Things have changed, haven't they?
They have.
Yes. So I also like to ask each candidate your political affiliation.
Okay. So I was born Republican by my mom and dad, and have been Republican most of my life. There was a short period of time when I was very not pleased with the first Bush administration. And so at the time, I switched over to the Democratic Party for a while. And there were two things that I wasn't very happy with, and that was NAFTA that Bill Clinton signed.
Which is what?
Which is the North, I'm sorry, no acronyms, the North Atlantic Free Trade Agreement mm-hmm. Back in the 90s. It was huge. It was really what started the push for a lot of businesses to leave the United States and go global. So I wasn't happy with that. But the really thing that made me leave the Democratic Party and go independent for a while was when he lied. We all make mistakes. None of us are
yes.
perfect. And he made a horrible mistake. But to lie about that mistake and try to cover it up, that's when I found that, you know, we can't, if our presidents lie to us, if our leaders lie to us, where what do we, the common people, have to stand on? And so after that, I did independent for a while, and there were some restrictions and limitations as to what an independent person could do, which I find very
strange.
Yes, thank you. So then I switched back to the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, Linda, the most important party that we all need to B is the American Party. We need to put America first.
Yeah.
Republican or Democrat, be whatever you want to be, but put America first. George Washington was really clear on that, that the parties would eventually destroy us if we allow them to. And I think that's what's happening today to our country. We've got such a divide.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's how I feel. That's my party affiliation.
And I'm going to ask you, what was it that made you decide about aligning with the Republican Party? But I also want to make a comment. You know, most of us, when whoever, whatever group we're aligning with, most of us don't usually agree 100% with any group. I mean,
that's true.
You know, that just is the human thing that we have going on.
I think it was just an evolution of going from Republican to Democrat to Independent back to Republican. I know that the Republican Party is not perfect,
right,
and the Democrat Party is not perfect either. That's just where I ended up, and there was not a calculated, you're worse than them and you're better than them type of attitude. It's just I ended up back at the Republican Party.
Yes.
That's all it was.
And it may change. I mean, depending on what's going on. I think you're saying the American Party.
Yes. I think that's what has to happen. We need to put America first. Our policies, our laws, our respect for our history needs to go back to our American roots. And if we don't go back there, I'm afraid that in my lifetime, things aren't going to get better.
Yes. You know, before we started this recording, we were talking about the significance and importance of history.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things you were emphasizing. And I think it's important that we educate ourselves about our legacy, what we've come through, and not just look to what's in the standard textbooks,
mm-hmm,
but research it beyond that.
Right. So I started a master's program in history. I had to end up stopping that for a while. But when I was going through that process, you know, you're learning about primary, secondary sources and how interesting how the secondary sources get built upon more and more than the primary sources. And there's a reason for why they are saying that the primary sources aren't valid anymore is because history has changed. Well, no, you have to go back to when that decision was made and look and see what they've done. There's been two Supreme Court cases that are very that were made by the Supreme Court based on historical data. One was the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association and Buren, where the Supreme Court stated support for that case was based on historical data. And then there was another case called Van Buren versus Perry, where it was involved having a Ten Commandment monument on public property. And again, the justices felt that it was historical in nature, so they allowed that to happen. So history is very important. And both of those summaries on those cases indicate how important history is. But for some reason or another, Lynn, nobody really wants to listen to that.
Yeah.
And it's sad to me because that's where we can gain strength. That's where we can really gain common ground, I believe, is in knowing our history. When we don't know the history, when we don't know the truth, now you're left to hearsay, I'm left to hearsay, and we need to go back to learning our history.
Well, I think there's value in looking at what's happened in the past, accurately looking at what's happened in the past, and hopefully learning from what has happened in the past.
Yes.
I think it empowers us to live differently, hopefully more aware. And our decisions empower us, if we have that historical perspective, can empower us to, when there's a need for change, to create a change.
Right.
So I do think that's important. And we all, whether or not we're conscious of it or not, we all come from a history within our families,
mm-hmm,
and our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important. I always encourage people, know your own legacy, your mm-hmm own ancestry, because it tells you about who you are today, whether you're conscious of it or not. It's mm-hmm really important to know that.
Mm-hmm.
For as a nurse, you know, the physical health and well-being.
Right.
What did our parents and our grandparents and, you know, our family story about our physical well-being?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, talking about history, my grandmother died when I was very young, 4 or 5 years old, so didn't know her very well. I remember just slightly, but it wasn't until I graduated that my mom told me that my mother was a nurse at Orville Hospital.
Oh, wow.
And so it's really interesting. I had no clue that she was, and I end up in the same profession as her. So I just kind of think that's kind of neat.
It is very
neat. History and what we, our history is, we are our history,
yes,
whether we like it or not.
Right.
So, yeah.
And when we're aware of it, we can use that information to either embrace or negotiate a change in direction. I mean, I think it's to be informed is powerful.
Yes.
Yes.
It really is. I agree wholeheartedly.
If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Shasta County Elections. It is presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I am Lynn Fritz, your producer and host. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and a volunteer at KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. We're doing candidate interviews. All the candidates have the same questions, and we're here in conversation with Gary Oxley. He is a candidate for the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 5. And so the next question I wanted to run past you, what approach do you have when you're working with differences of perspectives and there's conflict and tension? Is there any particular strategy you use or thoughts about how to work with that?
I thought about that question a lot, and I want to share an example with you, a working example that I had as a director of nurses at a local hospital. The hospital came up. They wanted us to do something different. So I was the director. I got all the heads of all the different departments together. We assessed the directive that was given to us. We came up with a plan. We implemented it and evaluated it. But here's the part that I wanted to share with you and your audience. Open communication is very important. You have to be able to ask not yes and no questions, but ask questions that allow people to express their feelings, knowledge, and information. And then you have to be able to use that information to assess your situation. And I'm forgetting one thing, and that's why I hesitated there for a moment, but I'm just going to go to this example. So, because it talks about conflict and how I resolve conflict and what I do. So as the leader of this hospital, we assessed what we needed to do. We came up with a plan. We made a decision to stick with that plan for 21 days because we all believed that it takes 21 days to make a habit. And so that was what we decided to do.
Give it a try.
So about day two, as anticipated, we knew that there were going to be grumblings because we were asking people to do stuff that they had never done before. So we knew that that was to be expected. But by day five, things got really bad. So we had two of the leaders call for a meeting. We all came in and they said, we have to stop this right now. And I listened to what they had to say. I expressed my feelings and validated what they had to say. But at the same time, I said, guys, we made a commitment. And if we don't stick with that commitment, what are we sharing with our staff? So we need to stick with this for 21 days. Let's work it out. We knew that we had to wait 21 days for some type of real validation as to whether this new plan was going to work or not. Unfortunately, the two folks that were opposing this, they actually quit over this.
Wow.
And it was really sad because they were very strong leaders, and to have them walk away was very difficult for me. But as the leader, I felt that we had made a decision and we tried to work with the two that weren't happy with the way that things were going. But instead, they drew the line in the sand and they left. And so that was really hard for me, but it taught me a lot of important things about how important communication is. And yes, we can be upset about something, but we don't need to make the decision when we're heated. We need to stop for a moment, settle down, maybe divide for a few days, and then come back and let's look at this differently. Maybe we need to go back out there and talk to the staff and see how we can do things differently. Could we modify things? Yeah, we could modify things as long as we're meeting the objective and the goal that we set from the very beginning. So I don't know if that is the best example that I have. But that was what I wanted to share with your folks, because that was 15 years ago that had that happened. Yeah. And it still resonates with me today because that was a sad day that I lost a couple of really great leaders. But it was also reinforcing to me that when you have an idea and the group comes together and everybody's trying to meet that objective, doesn't mean you pull up the rug and stop everything. It means you may need to reassess and reevaluate where you're going. And just unfortunately, they were unwilling to do that.
That is sad.
It was.
You know, you look at what's gone on with the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. There's been a lot of tension in that room, a lot of what I would call disrespectful speech and communication. And you have elected officials that have been placed there by the community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be in that arena, you might say, or in that setting, and having all that conflict, you know, the whole point of public comment is so that people can, I know it's brief, but they can give information. Plus, it's important for people to remember, you can email those elected officials. You could call the elected officials. Every elected official I've ever talked to says, please reach out, talk to me. You know, we can give our input beyond just the 3 minutes.
Right.
And that we can all, if we can't attend the meetings, they're all recorded and you can look at them at a different time.
Right.
Just because someone speaks for 3 minutes doesn't mean that that body of governance is going to be swayed and go the direction that person is recommending. You have to take in a lot of different variables and considerations. And so I think being able to listen is imperative. And then making decisions from them, from there.
I think that's one of the things, one of the reasons why I wanted to run for office was because Wendy and I have gone to a lot of Board of Supervisor meetings, and it's always been troubling to me that they have a huge agenda in a short period of time, even though it may be there for a majority of the day. They're trying to make a lot of decisions on an agenda that most of them, that they only got 3 days in advance. So one of the first things that I would like to do as a Board of Supervisors is make a recommendation to the board to have that agenda come out 5 days in advance, not just for the public, but for the Board of Supervisors, so that they have more time to look at and research and assess these things, because it goes back to knowledge. If I'm given a piece of paper and I have to make a decision on that today, I might not make the best decision. So to me, not only does the agenda need to come out sooner, but also the Board of Supervisors need to know that, hey, we're not going to decide on this today. We're going to table this because we need more information. The Brown Act, as good as the Brown Act is, I think it prohibits good communication between the Board of Supervisors. They can't meet, I think, more than, you can't, if you have three of them together, it's a quorum, and now you've violated the Brown Act. So it's like we need to allow this agenda to come out, allow them to talk about it more openly, and give them more time to discuss this. And allow, what I would think would be a great idea, Lynn, is you get your 3 minutes, right? And say there's five people. You get 3 minutes to talk, and now the board can discuss an issue. What I would love to see is the board go back to those people who addressed us first and ask them, now, do you have any comments based on what we just discussed? Because as I said in these board meetings, and I say something and then they talk, it's like, oh, that just triggered another idea for me to talk to you about. But that kind of communication doesn't exist. And I would love to see it exist, because we've got some very intelligent people in this community. And it's the whole team that makes the effort, not just the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's what I'm pointing to with the email, because I'll email elected officials and give them input. And I don't think I've ever not been responded to. They always give feedback. And so I think people need to realize they can speak directly through email with elected officials. It gives you better than the 3 minutes, because you're talking directly to that individual. And you can also talk to the entire group.
Right.
And so it's not just, you know, I think it opens up opportunity for more conversation.
Right. And that has to happen.
Yeah.
And we have too many sensitive issues that are going on in our community that I think we need more community input from.
Yeah. And just for one of the other questions, follow up was the strategy you use for bridging division specifically. What would you mentioned communication. Do you think that's the most important aspect?
Well, communication is important in all aspects, but I think also bridging conflict is, we have to look inside of ourselves too. So I consider myself to be a very easygoing person. I don't have to have the last say. And I'm open to giving you the opportunity to lead something and do something as long as the goal is the same. As long as we all have the same goal, to me, there's 10 different ways to skin a cat. So I'm not going to sit back and say my idea is better than yours when it comes to division. Let's try it. And if it doesn't work, then we'll come back on the table. We'll come back to the table and discuss it. So to me, it's all about communication and making sure that our own pride, our own biases aren't projected into this division that makes the division even deeper. So yeah. I think we have to look into ourselves as leaders as to what our motivation is. Am I all about control, or am I about a facilitator trying to make the best decision to get that goal accomplished?
Yes. You know, you mentioned, you know, serving on the Rifle and Pistol Association, serving as a coach, as a director, working with teams of people and having that demand of leadership. I just wanted to clarify, I should have asked this earlier when we were talking about that, but have you ever served in a government organization or committee?
No.
But you've had lots of experience in other ways.
Yes.
Yes.
I think my role as a nurse, I mean, I had one job where I was a regional director from, I'm going to back up to that story that I was telling you about where we, as a group, made that decision for that hospital. That hospital ended up being the flagship for the whole organization, and they actually promoted me to a regional director. So I went out on the western states and was trying to implement the same things that we did in our hospital to their other hospitals. So I think my lack of experience, if you were to say, in government organizations, that does not preclude me from from being able to lead in a government agency, because I have a lot of experience in healthcare. I also have a lot of experience in our own business, and I also have military experience as a veteran medic in the Army Reserves. So I've got the experience that it takes. I know how to communicate. And so sometimes people say, well, if you haven't done this or that, then you're not qualified. I disagree with that.
Yeah, yeah. So when you think of Shasta County, and there's a whole lots of different issues in the county, what do you think are the major ones that you're concerned about and want to work on?
Well, there's three major concerns. I have a long list of concerns. If you go to my website under other priorities, that's just a small segment of concerns that I have. But there's three main concerns. And the first one, Lynn, is I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. Go to First Baptist Church on Eureka Way. To me, God is very important. Our nation, if you read these two summaries that I talked about earlier, the Supreme Court justices, the Supreme Court Justice Rehnquist says, since the beginning of our country, religion has always played a very important part, because of the morals and values that we learn as individuals. And hopefully when you have somebody that has good, sound morals and values and you get them into politics, the people have voted them in there, they've consented to have these people lead them, that those morals and values will play out. So one of the big things that I think is very important, and there's a movement across California and throughout the nation, is to put in the board chambers "In God We Trust." It doesn't exist there. And to me, I think recognizing God with respect to everybody's different beliefs, that should be there. Because my definition of God may be different from somebody else's, but we have the First Amendment to protect that freedom of religion. But to not recognize and acknowledge God, how can we have inalienable rights if we don't acknowledge the Creator that gave those to us? So to me, that's one thing. The second thing is a really touchy issue here in Shasta County, and I'm not sure, Lynn, in your profession, you may or may not be aware of it, but we have a real issue with the Health and Human Services and Child Protective Services. I have spoken to so many families where the primary goal of a child protective service is to protect the child, keep them safe. And with that follows reunification services. There are so many cases of people that are coming forth, Lynn, right now where those reunification services were not provided. So to me, that's a really big issue because parental rights are protected by our Constitution, by the state of California. But somewhere along the line, things are happening where those reunification services aren't being applied. Now, are they? I can't say that they're not being applied across the board, but from the cases that I've seen, this is a big issue, and I believe there needs to be a forensic audit of Health and Human Services and the Child Protective Services.
In Shasta County.
In Shasta County. The third issue would be, it's a positive one. It's called, for all business owners, you know that you pay taxes to the county for your personal or business personal property tax. So you have your studio right here, Lynn. You've got X amount of dollars invested in your equipment, and every year you pay tax to the county for that. There is a state law that allows each county to exempt up to $10,000 worth of tax. Right now, our county does $1,900. So to me, that's one of the positive things that I'd like to bring to Shasta County is be able to maximize that $10,000 exemption so small business owners can get a break. And especially in today's environment where we're almost paying $6 a gallon for gas, that several hundred dollars or a few thousand dollars that you might be able to save in taxes could definitely make a difference in your business. So those are the top three priorities. I really do. Our founding fathers were really spoke very clearly that morals and religion are the pillars of our society. And to me, we're not dictating to people how to believe in God, but allowing your belief in God and the morals and values that God teaches can hopefully make things better in this country. It has to start within us. I can't force you to be better, but I can make me better. And if I'm better, maybe I can rub shoulders with somebody and it can make their life better. So those are my three priorities. Put God back in our lives and strengthen our families. And then we need to really promote business and give our businesses the best advantages that they can to survive.
Okay. I'm going to do a station ID. When I come back, the next question I'm going to ask you is around your thoughts around the voter fraud that's been an issue nationally and a concern locally.
Okay.
If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Shasta County Elections. This program is presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and a volunteer here. We are in conversation with Gary Oxley. He is running for Shasta County Board of Supervisors District 5. He's a candidate. And so coming back to that question, Gary, do you believe that there was voter fraud in the national elections in the past?
So my answer to that is I'm going to take it from a nursing perspective. If you're laying in your hospital bed and you've got a monitor on and that monitor's dinging, telling me that your heart has stopped, but I'm looking at you, read the paper. Well, there's not an issue there. I've got an electrical problem in that monitor. So I look at the allegations of voter fraud as red flags that need to be addressed. If we don't address red flags, then we're being negligent, in my opinion. I think that Clint Curtis,
The current Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters.
Yes, thank you for clarifying. I read his letter that he wrote to the Secretary of State on what he found here and what his plan was. And I look at that as he brings up red flags, but he's addressing them. So my feeling is there voter fraud? I can't prove it. But if there's allegations out there, then I think it's the responsibility of the leaders to address those and to find out if there is. I just read an article down in Riverside County where the sheriff took, supposedly thousands more people voted than there were registered voters. So how does that happen?
They also caught that.
Did they catch it?
Yeah.
So tell me the rest of the story.
We don't have, we're staying on track here.
Okay.
But I think it's good that, you know, looking at what you feel as a leader, your, what I hear you saying is, if there's a question, you need to follow up and look at what's going on.
Absolutely.
Investigate.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can't just say that that's voter fraud or that's conspiracy theory. If somebody brings an issue to you, you have to address it and look at it. That's our responsibility as leaders. If we don't do that, then we're shirking that responsibility.
But sometimes people bring up issues and they're unfounded.
And they are.
Yes.
But if I don't know that they're unfounded, then I have to keep with that until they are unfounded. And when they're unfounded, I will come out and say they're unfounded.
Yeah, the responsibility to due diligence.
Yes,
yes,
absolutely.
Yes. Yep. One of the other changes that has been implemented here locally is we used to have 24 drop boxes for voters to use throughout the county. And now we have four. There are two in Redding. There's one in Shasta Lake and one in Anderson. What's your thoughts or feelings about reducing the amount of drop boxes that people can drop their ballots in so that their votes can be counted?
I think that can present itself a really challenge for folks. Now, I understand Mr. Curtis's idea for securing those ballots. Is this the only solution? I can't tell you that that's the only solution. I believe that there might be some different solutions. We need to make sure that everybody can vote. That's the, in my opinion, that's the bottom line, is everybody needs a chance to vote. So is this the best solution that he has? I can't tell you that, Lynn. Because I have not had a chance to research all of that, but I'm open to looking at alternatives. I think this is where a leader comes into play, that, okay, that you came up with a good plan, but allow other people to come in and say, hey, well, this is a good plan, but maybe let's look at something else. Because I understand the hardship. My son's played football out in Hayfork, and I know how far it is out there. And so I understand the difficulty that it may have for people to travel such a far distance to vote. So
yeah.
I think we need to look at that.
Yeah. So. Same, you know, in Shasta County, we have Bernie that's way out there.
Right.
And so it really complicates things for people. It can. But it also, to inform ourselves about, okay, if I'm going to do that and I'm going to mail in my ballot, when do I need to get my ballot in? So there's all that, it's complex.
Mm-hmm.
It's really complex.
It is.
And it's challenging. And I think it's important that people realize that the Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters is an elected position. They're governed by state law. The Board of Supervisors sets the budget. Shasta County Board of Supervisors sets the budget, but they are not the overarching supervisory government agency over that office. So it's really challenging.
It really is challenging. Yeah. And I, you know, you'd go back to history, and I have not done my due diligence on this part of what I'm going to share with you, but how did we used to vote before? Why not go back? Were there polling places in Bernie, in Hayfork? Were there different?
There's polling places. There's 53 throughout the county. The difference is drop boxes.
Okay.
That's where they drop the ballot in instead of going to a polling place.
Okay.
And so that's the challenge. They used to be able to do that, and their ballots would be collected by the end of the voting day.
Right.
So it's complex.
It is complex. Yeah. And so I think if people bring, like I said, if people are bringing forth issues and concerns, then it's the responsibility of the leader to address those as best he can.
Yeah. And, you know, I do think government elected officials have a monumental task to deal with, like you're talking about, having huge agendas. And so there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And anyone can be critical. I tend to try to do what kind of solutions can we come up with is my kind of strategy in working with things.
You know, my favorite quote from Theodore Roosevelt, President Roosevelt, was his story about the critic. Don't jump on the bandwagon and start criticizing somebody who's in there fighting to do what they believe is right. So I think that we need to allow our supervisors, our other elected officials, to make mistakes. Don't criticize them for the mistakes they've made. If they set a pattern of making mistakes, then maybe we need to look at that. But people are always going to make mistakes. If you continue to make those mistakes, and that, then you can be more critical.
Yes. People, so. You know, in psychotherapy, one of the illustrations I use with clients is we're sitting in the room. In the middle of the room, there's an elephant. And if you're sitting on one side of the elephant, your perspective is very different if I'm sitting at the front of the elephant. Mm-hmm. And so I try to have that awareness when I work with anything, that there are different viewpoints because of where people are situated. Mm-hmm. And my hope is that I would go and sit to the right of the elephant, behind the elephant, to the other side of the elephant, that I would expand and take in the other perspectives. Mm-hmm. And I think it changes how we see things when we can do that.
It's absolutely true, and that's what I try to do as a leader, is to look from all different angles. I was reading this one article on the Civil War, and that's what they said. You got a reporter over here, and he's given his
perspective
over here, and then there's another guy on the other side. So you need to look at all aspects.
Yeah, yeah. And I do think it stresses the importance of communication,
yes,
too, to be able to share that.
Yep.
Yes.
If I'm a leader and I'm cutting you off, that's not a very good leader.
Yeah, yeah. So the other question I wanted to run past you is, what drew you to be a candidate? I mean, you're retired. It sounds like you have a good thing going on. So what made you decide, I'm going to run for office?
Some folks came to me to ask me to run. And Wendy and I took the opportunity to listen to them. And we told them that we would pray about it. And we'll do our due diligence and get back to you. And so after about a month, we decided to run. And not to point fingers, but there were some decisions that were made. And I think the biggest decision, Lynn, to run based on the information that I learned regarding what's happening with Child Protective Services and how the supervisors, I'm not going to name whom, but there were supervisors who kept saying, well, this is not my jurisdiction. And they're right to a degree. They don't have the jurisdiction over what happens in the courts, but they do have jurisdiction over and can call for an administrative review of these claims. So just to reiterate, the primary reason that I decided to run was because of things that I had learned personally regarding how some of the things are being run in within the Child Protective Service organization. And so when the Board of Supervisors are saying that it's not their jurisdiction, it isn't as far as legal things go, but they can call for an administrative review through the CEO to look into the actions of social workers, into the actions of supervisors, and to ensure that reunification services have been met. So again, this is a red flag. And as it comes to me being a red flag, I'm a mandated reporter. And so when red flags are being brought to me, whether I'm a mandated reporter or not, those have to be addressed. And whether those come out and being unfounded, then I would hope that that can be the case. But if it's not, then we have some work to do. And so that was the really primary reason why I decided to run, was because there were, it's a huge red flag, and nobody, because we actually encouraged people to go to your county supervisor. I can't discuss this case with you. You shouldn't be discussing it with me because that's the law. So go to somebody that has some jurisdiction over what's happening. And I know that at least on three cases, they were told that's not my jurisdiction. So that was probably one of the nail in the coffin that made me decide to run, was we need to look into what's happening in Health and Human Services and Child Protective Services.
Okay. If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Shasta County Elections. It's presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I'm your producer and host, Lynn Fritz. I'm a licensed marriage family therapist. I'm also a volunteer here on this radio station. So we're in conversation here with a Shasta County Board of Supervisors candidate for District 5, Gary Oxley. And the other question I want you to answer, you've been talking about the red flags you've seen, the things that are going on. And so if you were to try to describe what you're hoping to achieve, because it's a monumental task to go in there and work with a group, and you're trying to have citizens input, and then you're trying to manage budget, and you're trying, it's a lot. So what do you hope to achieve? One, you're talking about the red flags, addressing those.
I think, and it is a very complicated thing. You just described that. When I sit back and I look at the current supervisors that we have and the tasks that they have volunteered to embrace, it's huge. They're the highest ranking officials in Shasta County. So it is huge. How can I make a difference? How I can make a difference is bringing my morals and values of honesty and integrity to the table and not turning people away. It's frustrating for folks when they're losing their farm after so many years of ranching, farming, and now they're losing it because they can't afford to pay their property taxes. Well, what can we do? Well, I can tell you that's not in my jurisdiction. It's not in my jurisdiction as a board of supervisors. The county assessor can give them up to 5 years to make back due payments. But what happens if you're living on Social Security now in a very minimal amount of money? So what are we doing for our families? What are we doing for our people? So to me, a leader also has to take things that may not be in their jurisdiction, but the people are in my jurisdiction. And so I have a responsibility to try to help them somehow. So whether it is they can't pay their property taxes or they've lost their insurance because the fire insurance is too high, those are two things that are outside my jurisdiction. But what do we do to that? We've got people out here that are suffering from those two calamities alone. I feel a responsibility to do something. As a supervisor for Shasta County and the people in District 5, I'm going to be that squeaky wheel. Somebody has to be. You can't keep having people come up to you and saying, we got these problems, and we can't keep turning people away. So it's a huge issue, Lynn, and it's complicated. But I think at the end of the day, it's like I was talking to you before, what is the goal? The goal is we need to strengthen our families so that we can prosper as a community. To me, that's the ultimate goal. So we need to look at what can we do. And sometimes you have to go outside the box. I've already started speaking to other people about joining with other boards of supervisors to attack this fire insurance. So nothing is ever accomplished without a fight. And for me, defending your inalienable rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that's my job. I take an oath of office to fulfill that responsibility. And I think sometimes our leaders forget that oath of office, when they swear or affirm that oath of office, you're telling people that you're going to defend their rights. And they may not be in your jurisdiction, but that doesn't mean that you don't fight for them.
Yes. We have federal government, we have state government, we have county government. Mm-hmm. We get money from the state that comes into the county. Mm-hmm. And without that, we'd be in trouble. Mm-hmm. We have provisions and things that come from the federal government that we as people of the United States benefit from. Mm-hmm. Do you think the relationship between specifically the county government and the state government is of importance?
It is very important. Now, I can tell you that there's some heated discussions that some of the things that happen at the state level affect us negatively here. It's just like our property taxes. The state's telling us that you only have 5 years to make due on your back property taxes, and then you're going to lose your farm that's been in your family for 100 years. I think that's pretty harsh, but that's the state law. So what can we do to fix that? I think we as leaders have to petition the state legislators and say, hey, we have to stop doing this. These farms have been in these families for hundreds of years, and not at any fault to them. The economy is horrible, and now we're going to lose our property. There needs to be some allowances for when things are bad and how we can help people out. So the county, state, and federal government, we all need to work hand in hand. But sometimes there are issues that negatively impact us from the state. But do we just sit back and do nothing and say, oh, that's how it is? I'm sorry, we can't help you, Mr. Farmer. No, I think we have an obligation to stand up and try to help them in whatever way that is. Because if the state creates a law that takes away your right to own guns, what are we going to do? Now, I agree that you have to have responsible laws that protect people. But if there was a buyback program that said, okay, we're going to have a mandatory buyback of all your guns, what do we do? That's a state law. So it really, Lynn, it's a very complicated thing. But from my perspective, at the end of the day, our rights, there are certain inalienable rights that have come from God. And that's my responsibility. That's my stop, draw my line in the sand, is if you're taking away a right that was given to us by God, not the government, then I have a right, I have an obligation to stand up and defend that. Now, what does that mean? It means going, like I was telling you about that nursing decision that we made at work. You have to come together and figure out how we're going to protect that right with all the different things that are impacting that right. I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but that's how I feel. We have to work together, but that means the state has to work too. There needs to be some allowances for the state to look at Shasta County and say, hey, we've got all these ranches that are going to be closing up. We can't afford that. In fact, one of the things I feel strongly about is we need to get our ranches back up and going on our farm. We need to have our own meat and vegetables and meat and dairy products here in Shasta County for our own people. So there's a lot of things that preclude that from happening, but you have to do sometimes the uncomfortable things, and that stand up against people telling you no, especially if it's defending people's rights. You have to fight for them.
So we're running out of time, so I have two questions for you.
Sure.
Why do you encourage people to vote for you?
I'm pausing only because I've had so many people tell me why I should not run. And it's because I have no experience in government to run. If I am fully experienced in government, but I don't have honesty and integrity, what kind of a leader am I? I bring honesty and integrity and 30 plus years as a nurse, a business owner, and a military person. That's what I'm bringing to the table, honesty and integrity and a resolve to make sure that your rights are defended.
The last question I have for you, if elected, when you make decisions as a supervisor, is there any organization that influences you, or are you making your own decisions based upon the information you're getting?
So there's two groups of people. One is God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit directing my own life and making sure that I follow God's morals and values as I understand them. And the other is that I look at my founding fathers and what they did. If I have a question as to how we should proceed, I go back to them and look at that. So those two groups are what I answer to. I was endorsed by the Shasta County Republican Assembly, but I don't have to do everything that they tell me to do. So an endorsement means that there's a group of there's a group that recognizes my integrity, who I am as my character, and they're endorsing me on that. That's how I would answer that.
Okay.
The founding fathers and God are who I respond to.
I appreciate that.
Sure.
And I appreciate you coming in and taking time to go through these questions so that the community can get to know you.
Thank you.
In the comfort of their homes or in their car, wherever they are,
they can
live stream or listen to the broadcast. If people want to get in touch with you, website?
It's OxleySupervisorDistrict5.com.
Excellent. So we're encouraging people to vote, to participate,
yes.
Because oftentimes people go, my vote doesn't mean anything. It does.
Yes, it does.
It is your voice. And to be able to step out there, whether you're doing it through the mail or at the polling station, engage, be part of the community. That's the encouragement.
That's right.
That's why we provide these programs, not only to educate and inform, but to ask and invite people to be involved in community.
Yeah.
We're in this together.
We are.
And we want to make the best possible thing we can have it be.
Well, thank you for having me on.
I want to thank Gary Oxley. He's a candidate for Shasta County Board of Supervisors for District 5. This has been a segment of Shasta County Elections presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and a volunteer here at the radio station. If you like our programming, we encourage you to make a donation. You can go to the website, www.kkrn.org, make a donation. Those donations help us keep on the air. We are completely supported by donations from the community. I want to thank you for joining us. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Lynn, for having me on today.
And our encouragement is vote, please.
That's right.